It's how do you get to that place where you're secure enough to say to yourself, no, I'm not. You might think that, but you don't know what you're talking about. And welcome to episode 125 of Art Juice. This is honest, generous, and humorous conversations to feed your creative soul and get you thinking with me, Louise Fletcher.
And me, Alice Sheridan.
And this week we have a topic that was prompted by a listener review. So thank you for that, giving us a great idea for a topic. But before we get to our main topic, which I'm going to keep you on tenterhooks about, what are you working on this week, Alice?
Well, I had a little bit of a break. We got out of London for a few days and it was lovely. It just always invigorates me having a change of location, having a change. It's that thing, isn't it, about what you get inspiration from. And yeah, we can get inspiration from inside ourselves and blah, blah, blah. But actually, I get a lot of mine from that external stimulation. And I've spoken about this before on the podcast. I think that's what's been quite hard for me about the last year and a half. It's like, oh, same old place, same old journey, you know, everything else. So I kind of came back thinking, how am I going to get more of this in to my life, even within my everyday? So I've got some nice ideas about getting a little bit inspired from the everyday and just making a little bit more of that happen. So heading out tomorrow with a friend, which is going to be a nice little day trip out. I don't know what we'll discover. But just that feeling was really good. But it was interesting. I came back. I've come back home, and I've, because of this home studio and away studio, and I've got a very different scale of things I'm working on. So I'm working on small pieces at home and big things away, whereas previously that would all have happened within the same space. And it's just interesting how I noticed that I'm working on those two things very differently. The small things seem to be more about control and tension, and the bigger things seem to be about freer. And I don't know whether it's a process practical thing or whether they just need to have a different feel on scale. So right. I don't know. It hasn't settled yet, but that's what I've been thinking about.
It's just good noticing, isn't it? It's good noticing these things, and then you can let it filter through and see if it needs to be that way, or is there something that can shift one or the other?
I mean, like, I don't know if I enjoy things in small work about that control element. Do I need to take those into big pieces, or can they just have a totally different feel to them? Do I just not want to work in that sort of controlled way on big pieces? Maybe they're just a totally different approach. But I always think it's interesting how these different parts of your work can feed into each other or not, you know? So I don't know where it goes, but I also felt that when I went back to the studio, I'd kind of forgotten the last round that I did on these paintings. So I was quite pleasantly surprised when I went in, because I remembered them in a previous state, you know, and I was like, oh, that's quite...
they're better than I thought.
Yeah, they got a bit further than I thought. Maybe the magic fairies have been in while I was away.
That's a lot better than that feeling when you go in and then you go, oh, I did really well. That used to happen when I used to drink wine. I'd like paint late at night, think they were fantastic, and then come in and go, no.
Yeah, it happens too sometimes. That happens too. But I had to do a little bit of what we were talking about last week and line them all up. I've been at that stage where you just kind of paint without thinking about it. And now I'm at that stage where I was like, right, line them all up, take photographs of them, see what you've got, you know, just pause, take breath, see what you've got, rather than just going on mindlessly. So, well, I'm at that stage. So you've been a busy lady. What's your week been like?
I have. Well, this is the week. So I'm recording this on Thursday and we're going to put it out the following Tuesday. So you're a few days behind everybody, but it's the last day of a week-long free course that I do. And in the past, this has been a frenetic and frantic week for me. Just absolutely insane, and so that I'm exhausted at the end of it. Yeah. And then at the end of it, I launch a whole course and I have to be on my game for that. So this year I very consciously got everything ready a lot earlier. Yeah. And also got my team who helped me on my full course involved in helping me at this stage, and answering emails and questions as well as me, and even being on calls with me, which took a lot of pressure off. And the other, so I did that, and that freed me up to spend a bit of time giving myself nice things this week, because I've got things going on personally as well that are a bit difficult, and they just need some time. So I took Riley, for example, yesterday to my absolute favorite spot that I've discovered, which is, for anyone in Yorkshire, between Linton Falls and Grassington, you can walk along the river. And it is like, if you were going to take a chocolate box scene that you wanted to show an American of what England could be in the summer, this is it. Beautiful, that bright green you get in early summer, the river going by gently, little beach areas where little like mini beaches, beautiful trees, or on the opposite side of the bank, lovely stone cottages with gorgeous gardens. I mean, it is genuinely idyllic. And he doesn't walk very much anymore, very fast. Yeah. So we dodded along slowly. We sat by the river. I paddled in the river. It was just so restorative is the word that kept coming to mind. I was like, I've got to come here more often because I'm surrounded by beautiful scenery. Yeah. But there's something about that place which has got a different feeling. And a few days where I took a book for an hour and sat in the garden in the sun because the weather's been nice.
Yeah.
And it just makes a big difference to my energy when I come back to do the teaching.
Yeah. I have to say, England, I saw those videos of you by the walk and the water going over the rocks and everything. England, top marks, England, the last week.
Well done.
10 out of 10. England has been on glowing, glorious form. It has been spectacular. Well, maybe it's just where we was, but I mean, hot, beautiful, not too hot. I know you don't like it when it gets too hot, but as you say, it everything just looks lush. And like where we were, I took videos, and even my son was like, where is that? It looks like Corsica or something.
I know, your sea videos were just gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, just, but yeah, you just feel fantastic. And it's that's the thing, isn't it? How do you get to feel fantastic? It's always the question. Where is the thing?
And for everyone, it's different. But once you know what it is, you can then go back to that well over and over again. And then the other exciting thing that's happened, well, it's kind of a good news, bad news thing, but we haven't been able to get permissions for the Ted Hughes poems. We haven't been able to get a response really from Faber and Faber. They just keep saying that it's gone to the estate. So I took it into my own hands, and I know the address for where his wife lives, and she's the one who holds all the permission rights. And I know where she lives because she lives where he used to live with Sylvia Plath. So I looked up the address and I sent a letter a couple of weeks ago, and I got a message from her yesterday, but unfortunately I missed the call. So I got this message and it said, "Hello, this is Carol Hughes. This is the second time I've tried to call." And I was thinking, who's Carol Hughes? And I was like, is this one of my students? And then I went, oh my God. And she said, well, but anyway, on the message, I've got my phone here. If she rings, I'm going to stop recording. She said that she'll try again ringing. And she said, I just want to know who it is at Faber and Faber that you're dealing with so that I can help you move things forward.
Good, good, good.
So this is really good news. So I wrote to the publisher, got the information, and in case she doesn't ring me back,
yeah,
she sounded a little bit frustrated on the phone, I have written her a letter, which I'm going to post this morning, with my landline number and apologizing and saying that we have really bad mobile connection, which we do where I am. And sometimes my phone just doesn't ring. And so here's my landline and here's the information you asked for in case she just wants to contact them. But that just reminded me that waiting around for other people to do things, sometimes it's good to have help from other people, but sometimes you have to just say, right, I'm going to give this a go. I thought she was going to ignore it, but she didn't. So anyway, hopefully she'll call back.
That is exciting. That is really good.
Yeah. So our main topic was inspired by the reviews that we get on Apple Podcasts, where lots of you are lovely enough to leave us a comment. And Alice, do you want to read out a couple of the comments that we had?
I would love to. I would love to read this one from Jay Barker Art. Thank you very much. She says, I started listening to Art Juice nearly 2 years ago when they were still in single figures. Louise and Alice's knowledge, enthusiasm and honesty have always been present. They have helped me more than they will ever know. My best art year ever was thanks to their willingness to share and support all artists. I frequently hear my own thoughts and fears reassuringly echoed in the podcast. The warmth and joy they bring lets you know how important your creativity is, first to yourself, but also to those you share it with. This podcast is inspirational, yet practical, dealing openly with whatever life throws in the way of our creative paths. Thank you both for all your help. What a beautifully written and lovely.
Yeah, so kind. Thank you.
And then we have this one from Karen, who says, I found Art Juice from a recommendation and I have been working my way through the back catalogue. So inspiring and informative. And I realised the other day I'd been sitting in a car park for 40 minutes because I just had to finish the episode I was listening to. I haven't painted or drawn for many years, and this has given me the nudge I needed to stop collecting art supplies and start using them again. I say stop, but you know you never actually stop. No, you'll never stop, but go for it, Karen. That is fantastic. Really good to hear. And then we had this one that said, the last three episodes have been advertisements for the course they or their friends run. I'm fine with a little self-promotion, but not an hour's worth. Please go back to your previous high quality of art podcasting.
I loved this one. It made me laugh so much.
Now, it's not mean, but it was quite it was quite funny to see that in also in conjunction with we had so many messages from people saying it was really nice to hear your backstory, Louise's backstory. And yeah, both of us were talking about things at the end, but it kind of wasn't the main focus of those podcasts. And certainly the one with Kelly, you know, you can do her thing for free. There was no selling it. So it's just interesting.
I think it's interesting as well, because if there had been, like, if we wanted to come on and do an episode that was literally buy my stuff, buy my stuff, buy my stuff, I feel perfectly entitled to do that. And I feel like if you don't like it, that's fine, because we do so much for nothing. So much time, so much effort put into making content for people, which, as this person says, is high quality. If I wanted to come on, and by the way, I forgot this person's name, but be warned that in a couple of weeks, I'll be promoting a book. So I'll be on here promoting. But if I want to do that, I feel like if we did that every episode, people would stop listening, and they would be very entitled to stop listening. But if you get something for free from somebody, I fully expect that at various points as I'm listening to that thing, they're going to tell me about something they've got.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to Amy Porterfield's podcast.
Yeah.
She's a master marketer. And at the beginning of hers, there's like 5 minutes of selling before she gets started.
Yeah.
But there's always amazing content. So I'm quite happy to let her do her selling, because she's giving a lot of good value. If it was 30 minutes of her selling, I wouldn't listen. So I found it interesting. And I thought, we both thought separately and wrote to each other about what a good topic for the podcast to talk about how we reacted to that. Because I think a few years ago, if I'd seen that comment, I would have felt mortified and knocked back. I know I would, because I didn't have any the confidence in what I'm doing to say, okay, I feel bad that you feel that way, but I'm not changing anything. Now, it doesn't knock me back. And I find it interesting. And I thought the topic for the podcast could be, how do we stay true to ourselves when we do something that somebody outside who we didn't invite in gives us criticism? So we post a painting and a stranger makes a negative comment, or a friend sees a painting and doesn't like it and makes a negative comment. I think how secure we are in ourselves determines how we handle that.
Yeah.
And so I just thought it'd be a good topic. What do you think?
I think that's an excellent topic. I also think that there is another side to this that I think is really important from artists and from I see, from the ones who I work with, is this whole sense of self-promotion. Self-promotion being a bad thing, self-promotion being something that we should stay away from, self-promotion being something that's going to offend somebody. And as you say, meh. You know, it's, and we've got to get used to doing this. Like, if we are making artwork and we want people to be able to see it and decide for themselves if they want to buy it or not, we've got to get over this hurdle of saying, oh, here's my stuff for sale. You might be interested, you might not. You have to tell people about it. Like, I've still had people emailing me saying, you know, I miss joining your membership. And I'm like, well, I talked about it nonstop for 3 weeks. I send you a lot of emails if you didn't open them. But, you know, so we all have to do it a little bit more than we feel comfortable with. And that means that you do get comments like that. And like you say, when you're at the beginning, they can sting. So a lot of this is about how they don't sting, or and it's not about without caring. It's just about how you see it in context of everything else that you're doing, you know, creatively showing up, talking to people, putting your work in exhibitions, all of that kind of stuff. You've got to get to that kind of core of you. So really,
I think
important.
You make an amazing point, because we know that when something triggers us, it's because of us, not the thing that triggered us.
Yeah.
Always, always look in the mirror, see what it is about that thing. This is something I practice all the time now since I learned it, that if I meet a person who annoys me, there's something in that for me about me. It's not them. And if I see somebody doing something that annoys me, there's something in it for me. And I think that thing of artists being uncomfortable with sales that you brought up is so key. And it came up in the free course I'm doing, in a conversation where somebody was negative about the free course and said something about, well, it's obviously just here to sell something anyway, and it's just a business. And I found that really interesting, because what happened was all sorts of people dived into the conversation to defend me and say, I can't believe you would hurt Louise's feelings like this when she's put so much effort into her free course. And I could not have been less hurt. Like, I could not have been less bothered, because I understand that that person just was feeling triggered somehow by something, either the content of the course or the fact I was going to be selling. I hadn't even done any selling, but I understand that that's a problem for that person and not for me. And I used to feel it was me. Used to feel, and it's very, like you say, it's so hard, because I'm about to spend a week now where I am going to email people every day saying, you've got 6 days, 5 days, 4 days, 3 days, 2 days. And you can, I will get emails back saying, I'm sick of getting these emails, stop it. I will get a few of those. But like you say, I will also get quite a few 2 days later saying, oh no, I missed the deadline. Why didn't you send an email? If you don't send extra emails, people miss things. And if you've got artwork or a book or a course or an in-person workshop that you feel is valuable, then marketing is simply telling people what you can do for them. It's not anything horrible. It's simply saying, look what I've got, and you might like it.
And it's just, it's always, and it's why I think tied up with everything we do, and I think everything that you do as well, because we both know personally what it takes, quite frankly, to overcome some of this stuff. It doesn't matter what you call it, mind monkeys. I heard somebody today calling it like chickens pecking at your brain. You know, we all have these things, but it's about how you move from that place of letting it bother you, which I think we both accept we have been in before. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that it doesn't, that you don't notice it. Like, when you see something like that, and like I say, it wasn't like offensive, like we're not saying it was an offensive comment, but it's still one of those things that you just get a little, ooh, about.
Yeah.
But I think now the thing is, for me, it doesn't stick. And I was mulling it over, and I was thinking, it's a little bit like, you know, if there's like a little splinter of wood and it fly, and if it gets stuck in your finger like a splinter, you know, it can get stuck there, and it gets stuck, and then it just kind of niggles, and then it just niggles a little bit more. I've always thought about what you've got to do in this is you've got to be so secure in yourself that you've almost like grown around yourself a kind of Teflon bubble. Yeah. Now, mine is invisible, so it's clearly not made of Teflon because Teflon isn't invisible. But it's tougher than a, you know, it's not a bubble because it can't be popped. It's got to be like this sort of shield, this force field that you grow around yourself so that things can either bounce off it without even touching you, or if they settle, they don't get stuck in like that splinter. So recognize them, acknowledge it. And I think there's some questions I've got to ask yourself kind of later about it that help me deal with them a little bit.
Does that bubble, and this is the thing I'm still learning, I have to try and make my bubble deflect the positives just as much as the barbs. Mm-hmm. And that happens, especially on something like this free course, where there are thousands of people taking it. Lots of them are really enjoying it.
Mm.
And if I believed everything that's in the comments on that course, I would be walking around with a head that was so swollen, like I am the best thing that ever happened. And I don't let that stuff change my mind about me either.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean that I knock it down with false modesty, but I used to let it affect me. And particularly with my painting, this affects me. So if I'm getting lots of praise for my painting, I in the past could be driven to start doing more like that one, like subconsciously, oh, you know, so-and-so liked that one and I respect them. I should probably do more in that color palette, or I should have another go at replicating that. That was very pernicious in me for a long time. And it would drive me off course because the next one wouldn't work out because it wasn't genuine. And the same with, you know, if I took all the compliments from the free course, I could be driven to start thinking, I should do more free stuff like this. People really like this. I should do more, but I haven't got the time or energy to do that. So it's, I have this quote which I wanted to read out, and it was a Georgia O'Keeffe, and actually one of my coaches on my course, Cheryl, mentioned this quote yesterday on a call we had, and I thought it was really good. Georgia O'Keeffe was talking about, I can't find the full quote now, but she was describing that before she had a show, she laid out all her works by herself and looks at them, and she decided whether they were good, bad, or indifferent. And she said this way, when they did go out into the world, and this is the quote, I have already settled it for myself, so flattery and criticism go down the same drain and I am quite free.
Yeah.
And I love that idea of the drain. So it's like, it's nice. I'm not saying it's not nice to get people saying nice things about you. Of course it is.
But
you mustn't let it make any difference to what you're doing any more than the criticism does.
Back to Rudyard Kipling's If, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's the same thing, you know, if you can, I can't remember it. Basically,
if you can keep going when everyone's going nuts, that's my answer.
Yeah, and take criticism and everything in the same vein. Yeah, I think you make a really good point that it's not just about deflecting criticism. Because I think criticism can be really useful. Useful. And you know, we get criticism. We get criticism on the podcast. We've had people say you talk too much. Bit tricky on a podcast.
Chatty.
but you know, we've also had people say you don't talk that much about practical making art.
Yeah.
True. We don't, you know, and that perhaps is, you know, that could be seen as a criticism or not as a criticism. But the point is, we get to choose.
Yeah, we're the boss.
but we could do a podcast. We could have some episodes really about the practicalities of making art. We don't really have a plan other than what sort of feels important. Like, I had a one-to-one call with somebody yesterday asking about the membership because she was setting something up. And she said, you know, what's the biggest mistake or what? I was thinking, oh, God, I can't think what the biggest mistake is. But what's the most important thing is to create something that you want to turn up for time and time again, that feels like the kind of place that you want to hang out with the kind of people that you want to hang out in. And if you do that, you're not going to go far wrong. And it's the same with your work and criticism and flattery. If you're like in your own lane, you're working your own things out, you're accepting that it's not perfect, you're accepting that you've got things to learn, you're accepting you're going to get things wrong as much as you get things right. If you understand that, kind of doesn't matter what people say to you, because you can just take it in as feedback from others, from yourself. You should be looking for feedback from yourself all the time. Helps you understand your work, what you want to do, what direction you're going in. It's just part of the information that you're putting into the filter.
Yeah, and then, I think you get to decide, don't you? So with that comment, I looked at it, I thought, well, I don't agree, because I believe that you should do 5-3 things for every one thing. If you're an artist that you mention you're selling something, I believe 5 to 10 free things every time you want to say that you're selling something. And we do like 50 free things and, you know, one selling. So I don't feel that comment I needed to give any more consideration to. But sometimes people will say something and you think, actually, good point. I think there's something in that, and maybe I need to think about that. So I think it's important to as well say, we're not saying that we never listen to anyone.
Yeah.
It's like you say, it's a filter, isn't it? You put it through, you go, does that feel like I want it valuable, or does that feel like it's someone's very valid opinion? It's not like I don't dismiss that person's opinion at all. That's their opinion. But do I want to bring it on board and do something about it? Yes or no? And then move from there in the integrity of. But doesn't this come from, because I get this question a lot about painting, to be able to do that, you have to know what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
So if you don't know your own values or your own direction, you can be very easily knocked off course.
Yeah, I don't think you have to, this is nuance, you don't have to know exactly what you're doing, but I think you have to know what track you're on. So like you said before, often when we get these things and they hurt a little bit, it's because we know actually that probably, you know, we've got that little gap. So if somebody says something about your work about, oh, it's a bit funny, or the figure's a bit off, or that, oh, there's something, the perspective is out. If getting the perspective right is important to you, and someone says the perspective's out, you're like, I've got a bit more to do on that. If you're not bothered about getting the perspective right, it doesn't matter, does it? So it's what it reflects back to you that you then get to learn from. So I think that's the question, is there anything in it? How can you learn from it without making it personal? And I don't know whether this is, I'm hesitating to say this is about being tough or thick-skinned, because I don't think it is about that. And that's not really an attitude I like, but I do think sometimes you do have to be thick-skinned. You have to sort of have a little bit of that kind of steely determination in you, and a lot of that is from going even a step back and acknowledging what you're doing is important and why it's important for you. So if making art is an important part of your life because you know without that you feel like you don't have a personal outlet, or it's something that you do just for you, you know, forget taking sales or anything in it, it's just an important part of you being you. Well, if it's about you being you, it doesn't really matter what anybody else thinks about it, does it? So if you have that part right, then it's easier to deal with. I mean, there isn't really a list of rules about how to deal with this, other than just always edging towards that, you know, what is your kind of core.
I think that's such the important point, because I know that people who do get knocked easily and who are listening to this will be saying, yeah, but how do I get that confidence? Mm-hmm. And it comes from that sense of having a direction, as you say, being on a track, or having a thing that you're doing that you can't be knocked off. There's a Byron Katie quote. She says, nobody can hurt me. Because that's my job. So meaning, you can't hurt me by what you say. It's my job inside my own brain to take what you say and turn it into hurt.
Yes.
So if you say to me, your face is purple and you've got green spots all over it, I'm just going to think there's something wrong with you, because obviously it's not. But if you say to me, God, you've aged in the last few years, and I secretly have been looking in the mirror thinking, God, I'm aging, then that's the kind of comment that I'm going to go to my husband. You can't believe what she said to me. She said I've been aging. I can't believe she said that. And she looks awful too. I mean, God, she's one to talk. That's that kind of thing which triggers you. And it's the same with our art. So it's not, nobody can hurt you. You have to do that. So when someone says, that's a bit rubbish, you're just throwing paint around, you're just daubing. You used to do realistic things, now you're just daubing paint in a pointless manner. It's how do you get to that place where you're secure enough to say to yourself, no, I'm not. You might think that, but you don't know what you're talking about.
I think the biggest thing for me on that, if you're saying, you know, what was the one thing, because I think you get there gradually. I think it's a gradual step thing. It's not like you just wake up one day and it's like, la la, I've got it all sorted. You know, no, nobody's got it all sorted. Everybody has this stuff. But you get there gradually, and each little bit just gets cemented in, you know, and then it just gradually gets a little bit stronger and a little bit stronger and a little bit stronger. But it's all based on you going at a pace that feels right for you, testing yourself. Like when something feels right, you're like, yeah, that feels good. Now I'll do the next part. Yeah, that feels good. Now I'll do the next part. And that's what gives you those good foundations in it. So if there was one thing, I would say for me, it was the understanding that where I was, age, whatever it was, 41, I was like, this is going to take me 40 years. Bring it on.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, it's not like, this is not something that I'm going to do in the next 2 years or 3 years or 4 years or like whatever, you know, this is it. This is it from now to wherever. And that's why, you know, I might get unsettled, and I'm not saying that things are always perfect and we have these ups and downs, but it doesn't bother me to the extent of upsetting me or derailing me. If I have 2 months where I don't feel like this massive, great creative urge to paint all the time, because I have other things in my life too, it goes, it comes back. And I know if it goes, it will come back again.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is experience, isn't it? It's time. But that's such a key point that you make, that it's not like, okay, in 3 years' time, I'll be done and then I'll find something else. I'll find another interest because I'll have done the best painting ever and I won't have anything else to do. That's never going to happen. That's what I think is the magic of this, because we know we've got something to do until the day we die, whenever that is, whereas most people don't have that.
And also, I think we hope that we get better at things. I think, you know, I know you've been talking a lot this week about, you know, don't race to the finish. This is about, you know, learning to focus in and tune in to the enjoyment about what makes it right for you. And it's totally different for everybody else. So we want to get somewhere with it, but you also have to accept that that means that wherever you are now and today is not the best version of it. Like, it can't be. It just can't be.
Yeah.
But it's probably better, or hopefully, at the very least, not even better but more interesting, more attuned to you than perhaps what you were doing 2 years ago or 3 years ago or 4 years ago. I mean, you know, when I started, it was like, teach me. And now I'm a little bit like, I don't want to be taught. I know that I just need to figure things out by myself. And that's a kind of process of expansion and contraction and opening things up, like I say, to outside inspiration, and then focusing down a little bit and, you know, working out what that process looks like. And you look at anybody, it doesn't matter whether they're artist or any realm. I think the people who have learned how to do that for themselves, whether you're, I don't know, I'm thinking Kate Winslet, because everybody's talking about this mayor of whatever that I haven't seen. You know, you choose roles that are interesting to you. That's how you build an interesting career as an actor.
Yeah.
You know, you choose to write books that are interesting for you. That's how you set your life up as an author.
Yeah.
You know, each little step.
This brings me to a different thought that just popped in my head, is that once dangerous. You feel like this, sorry?
I said dangerous.
Yeah, I don't have many of those. Once you feel like this about your own work, it changes for me how I react to other people. So I, for example, started listening to a podcast recently, and we were accused by somebody once of being too chatty at the beginning, which is possibly true. You know, we have our little chatty bit. But this podcast, they're chatty for 40 minutes of the hour before they get to the topic. And I find it really annoying, because I actually enjoy when they get to the topic, but I'm like, come on, you know, just get on with it. But I also feel like it's their podcast. It's quite a popular podcast, has a lot of listeners. So I just leave them to it. I skip. I move my thing along until they get to the point. It wouldn't occur to me now to leave a negative criticism on that, because they haven't asked me. If they came to me and said, well, how could we make our podcast better, Louise Fletcher? Then I would say, you know, my suggestion would be. But for all I know, the big audience for that podcast prefers the chatty part and doesn't really like it so much when they get to the topic. So it's changed the way I'm very reluctant to give criticism or feedback on people's art. If they ask me a specific question, like, have I got put too much red in this for it to feel calm, for example, I feel like I can give an answer to that perhaps. But I hate being asked, what do you think of this? Or, can you give me some feedback on my work? I don't feel like it's relevant or important what I think.
I mean, the have I got too much red in this for it to feel calm is a very different question for the one that people usually ask, which is more likely to be, have I got too much red in this?
Yes. Like, I don't know, have you?
For what? Depends what you're trying to do. And that's why I think so much of this, and why we don't talk about, you know, do you use glazing fluid or whatever? It's because it's about the questions that you ask yourself and how you deal with them is what makes the progress for you.
Yeah. And it's how you stay true to yourself, to get back to that idea, is those questions. You have a phrase, I know you've got some questions to ask, but I just wanted to mention this phrase you use, which I found really helpful, is what's your line of inquiry, is what you always say.
Yeah.
And that really helped me at the beginning to think about, if I've decided I'm interested in exploring, as I am at the moment, the combination of pattern and organic marks, making something that I like as opposed to something that feels too patterny, then I'm on that track. And if you say to me, oh, I don't like paintings with patterning, it's like, okay, go away then. You know, because I've got my thing I'm investigating. And it's fine if you don't like it. But if I'm dabbling about, as I was when I first came back to painting, then I am not going to have that rootedness to what I'm doing that helps me deflect praise and criticism. And so I love that. I just wanted to offer that to everybody, that what's your line of inquiry is really, it just gives you a centeredness to what you're doing.
Yeah, the and I remember, I can't think when it was. The word curiosity has been a big pivot for me.
Yeah.
Whether it is in your work or whether it is marketing, like what works on Instagram, I don't know. Try it and see. You know, does this work? Is it this? Should I try this? Try it and see. Should I make reels? I don't know. I know some people are killing it with reels. Personally, I find them a little bit fiddly. You know, it's not my most favorite thing. Every so often I think, oh, that would be quite fun. I'll do a reel of that. But I haven't made it like, oh, you've got to do a reel every Thursday or whatever it is, because that feels too heavy. But this line of inquiry thing, and I don't know if this is a Byron Katie thing. Somebody will be shouting at their headphones. It's not, all I know is it's not mine. It's this idea of asking five whys. So why is something important to you? Why is that? And why is that? And why is that? And you just keep going. And it's a kind of a journaling exercise. And you can do it. You can do it with your art. So, you know, what are you interested in doing? Landscape. Why? Because it feels good to be outside. Why? Because it feels more expansive than being inside. Why is that important? Because inside I have this feeling of perhaps restriction and limits, and outside I love that feeling of the sky and the, you know, the just the fact that it can be expressive and moving and nothing still and things are growing and they're changing. Why is that important? Because I don't like feeling trapped. Why is that important? Because when I was trapped, it didn't do my mental health a lot of good. Why? How do you do that in your art? Well, I explore these two things together somehow, and vehicle is just landscape is just a vehicle for it, you know. Or now it's like, you know, why is this not enough? Because it's too easy. Well, so how do you why is too easy an issue? You know, what? Well, because it's interesting for me, because I like having a challenge. Okay, well then, if I can accept that one of the reasons I paint is to give myself challenges to resolve it, then I'm cool with the days that it all goes wrong.
Yeah.
You know? So if you can keep asking yourself just that, dig deeper, dig deeper, dig deeper, why, then you get to the point where you're like, oh, okay, well, that's why I'm doing it. Okay, right, off we go then.
Yeah. Yeah, it's perfect, because I often get people on my courses who are, for example, fascinated by trees comes up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, oh, it's trees I'm interested in. Why trees? And it's, because everyone will have a different why, first of all, because I love the canopy of the leaves, because I love the light coming through, because I love the trunks and the way. Why do you love that?
Yeah.
Because it feels solid. Why is it important that it feels solid? And you get to a completely different place. Mm-hmm. Someone says it's because as a child, I felt free when we went to this wood camping, and that freedom was the only freedom I ever felt as a child. Or someone else says something completely different. And it's not about trees. So I love that. It's brilliant.
Yeah. And you know, so going right back to where we started, you know, I think, what we both felt about that was a, have you seen this, but it didn't stick. And the reason is because we know the why of doing the podcast, and the why of doing the podcast, well, for me, it's a consistency thing. It's a recognition of a longevity, a commitment. It's a recognition of the fact that I know I like resolving things by talking them through with other people. It feels to me like an easy way to get in touch with you guys who listen, because it's creating something that I felt didn't exist when I was at that stage, and an okay way to do it. Like I've said before, you know, we don't have to have our hair dried or anything like that to turn up and do the podcast. And it's also, you know, one of the other reasons is it's a nice way, and it means that people get to know us, people get to know you, they get to know if they want to do your course, and once a year you tell people about it.
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah, it's an equal balance for me of giving something back, which I really enjoy doing. If I learn something, I've learned that I have to go tell other people. Like, that's what makes me a teacher by nature. If I learn something, I want to show you. I just want to tell everyone. So it helps me do that. And also, as you say, it was always strategic for me, in the sense of I want to make sure people know who I am, because I genuinely believe in my course. I know it helps people. It helps the right people, the people who it's for. It makes a massive difference to their lives. So I want people to know about it. And what are the ways I can do that without being intrusive? Well, I can give, and I can give knowledge and then let the right people find me. And then when the time comes, we'll be matched together. I'd rather do that than putting ads on the beginning of YouTube videos constantly and bombarding people with nonsense information that bombarding the wrong people. So it's like a magnet, isn't it? Something like a podcast or a YouTube channel. It's just there to, like a beacon from a lighthouse in a foggy sky, just to attract people who are interested.
So what are we saying to sum up? That it helps get to the bottom of the why you're doing whatever it is you're doing. And that's also a good thing. You know, if you get to that and you think, well, that feels off, that's probably a point to reconsider whether you should be spending your time doing
that.
Yeah. Because once you're secure in that, then that gives you the oomph. You know, like, you know, my husband used, I've told you this before, my husband used to say, why are you spending this time working out your website? You know, because it's important to me. End of.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's important. So am I going to spend time on it, or am I going to give up on it? You know? And that's what helps you. That's what helps you get to that stage where you get through hiccups, hurdles, things that come, weeks that aren't so good, all of that kind of thing. I just want to finish with this, which was an article that I found by Robert Pagliarini in the Chicago Tribune, and we'll put a link in the notes so you can read the whole thing. The whole thing was a kind of stop pleasing everyone column, which is not exactly what we're talking about, but I did kind of quite like this. He said, there are three surefire ways to eliminate criticism in your life. Be dreadfully normal, don't take any risks whatsoever, and do your best to sacrifice what is special and unique about yourself in order to blend in as much as possible. Of course, this is not the recipe for living your best life. You cannot avoid criticism, but you can learn to live with it and not allow it to have such a grip on your life. In other words, get to the point where you care so much about yourself or your idea that you're not sidelined by a critical comment, a negative review, or a raised eyebrow. And then he also says this, which is a nice little thing. There is no need to please everyone. All it takes is 51% of voters to like you, and sometimes not even that, to become the president of the United States. Yeah, this means that even the most powerful in the world has a job where half the country wants to fire him.
Yeah. And, you know, for something like art, you need nowhere near 51% of people. No. You need like less than 1% of the people to like what you're doing.
Not even that. So, right. So having said all that, then hit us with why we should all be doing your course.
Yeah, I've got something to promote. So there's actually only one day left. So if you're listening to this live, there will be one day left to sign up. My full 10-week Find Your Joy course begins on the 21st of June. We close the doors to new clients at midnight Pacific time on Wednesday. Hang on, I forgot my date. On Wednesday the 16th. Now that is actually about 8 a.m. UK time on Thursday the 17th, which gives me time to wake up early and answer any final questions. Yeah. But that's the closing time. So if you listen to this on Tuesday, you would still have time. If not, oh, well, sorry. We're all having a really good time painting. It's 10 weeks long, and you can find all the details on my website. Just go to my homepage on louisefletcherart.com, and it will be right there on the homepage for one more day. And I hope you come and join us. I enjoyed that conversation. That was interesting. So let's wrap up with, what's inspired you this week?
Okay, so mine, I'm just going to share another, I know it was a podcast last week too, but it was a podcast this week. I have been to my optician's this morning to get my new monovision settled, sorted out. and stopped off at my new favourite coffee shop. But on the way there, I was listening to the Just Bloody Post It podcast, which Helen Perry does, and she had a guest on, Nat Lou, her name was, N-A-T-L-U-E. And I just love, well, firstly, I just love the Just Bloody Post It hashtag that Helen uses on Instagram and all of those things. But I just loved this conversation between the two of them, because it was about, you know, how much of yourself do you need to share? Should you share? Should you be concerned with what other people think about you? So it seemed very appropriate that I just happened to be listening to that today. So I just wanted to give you all a little nudge over to have a listen to that. This is a fairly new podcast that Helen's doing. I think this is only the fourth or fifth episode. So she's just at the beginning, but I love what she does on Instagram and how she approaches this whole thing. I don't know what it is. Is it just that women do it in a different way?
I don't know what it is that she approaches, because I don't know what it's about.
It just feels kind of...
What is it about, the podcast?
So a lot of what she does is sort of community building, getting your message out there, you know, how you show up, really, you know, for yourself online publicly. And a lot of what Nat does, as I said, I've only just discovered her this morning, a lot of it is about, you know, she's been around a lot longer. I think she has a podcast that has over 200 episodes. And, you know, one of the messages that she had this morning was, you know, it took me 80 episodes to work out what it was I wanted to include in the podcast. You know, just keep going. It is the work. But that's how you resolve what it is you want to do or not want to do. And I just loved the conversation that they were having, because it just felt so open, so honest, so straightforward, no BS. Really nice. Really, really nice.
I'm going to give that one a listen, because I'm still struggling for good podcasts. I really do get through them so fast and then can't find one that doesn't annoy me. So I shall give that one a listen.
And it was also quite nice because... you know, sometimes when you have a podcast and you know the host, but you don't know the person that they're interviewing, and a little bit of your brain or a little bit of my brain has this resistance. It's like, who is this person? Why should I listen to them? I'm not sure if I want to spend the next 40 minutes of my life listening to somebody I've never heard of before. And then you kind of think, oh, that's nice. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
That's just a fun feeling. It's really nice. So yeah. I really enjoyed that this morning. So what about you?
Mine is very boringly, I suppose, because I've gone on about it so much, but the free course that's over now, it's always a big boost of inspiration for me. It always gets me wanting to work again, because the people who sign up for that course generally are having some kind of block, or they're stuck somewhere in their art practice. Some are beginners who are scared, but that's not mostly it. Mostly it's people who've been painting a while, but are stuck somewhere. They want to get more expressive or more unique or more personal with their art, but they feel they're still making things that don't feel like that to them.
Yeah.
And there are all sorts of blocks that make that happen, and they're quite deep sometimes in our psyche. And seeing people's bravery, I set exercises for people to try to get past some of those, and I give talks and I do live chats and I try and nudge people past some of them. And the people that are brave enough to actually do it, they're so courageous, first of all, and they make great things, and then they have real realizations like, oh my God, I really enjoy painting for the first time, and I enjoyed it because, and they realize what it is that's blocking them. And I find the whole thing very inspiring. I just have to go into that Facebook group for a few minutes just to get jazzed up again.
Yeah.
And even the people, you know, sometimes there are people who really struggled, but they're brave enough to have done it and jumped in. And I can't count how many things I've signed up for and then not done what I've been asked to do, you know, tons of things.
Yeah.
But they're doing it. And I just find that, I always find it super inspiring. So I've got all sorts of panels which are half sealed. The part I don't find inspiring is sealing and gessoing wooden panels. God, I hate it.
This is a nice podcast.
Yeah, well, I've tried. Hopefully I like that one you've given me, because I've run out of good podcasts. But yeah, I need to get those panels done now because I need to get started painting again because I'm feeling all jazzed up from doing the free course.
It's actually, there's some things in there that have jazzed me up too. And this is the first time, partly because I'm a little bit careful about not getting too close to things that other people are doing in case it influences what I want to do at some point. So this is the first year that I've been in the group, and every so often I kind of scroll through and I have a look, and I've really enjoyed seeing the variety. It's a little bit like what you said about people talking about trees. Like, trees can be the starting point, but there are so many different directions.
Yeah.
And it's been really nice seeing the variety of approaches, the variety of just work that comes out from even those simple exercises, and as well noticing my response and my reaction to some of those, I think has also helped me get clearer on a little bit what I want to do and what I want to bring back into my work. And I haven't done any of the exercises, partly because I was away for it, but even being in that space, it's been really nice to see that. And also, again, like you say, you know, kudos, heads up, anybody who's prepared to do this, to take this on, to follow this kind of creative life, this is what you're doing, this is what you're letting yourself in for, and this is where the rewards come, where you do it, where you investigate, where you get support, where you struggle, where you do something that's new. And it's nice seeing, it's just so encouraging and lovely to see people doing that for themselves. Really, really nice. So it's been a good week for me too, even watching from the outskirts.
Oh, good. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We really enjoyed this conversation, so I hope you did too, and I hope something in there has been helpful for you. If you would like to hear from either of us on a regular basis, you can of course come to our websites where you can sign up to get our newsletters, which come out at various times depending on what we feel like writing. I am at louisefletcherart.com and Alice is at alicesheridan.com. So thanks for listening, everybody. We've really enjoyed this conversation and we hope you have too. We would love to know if you have any ideas for future topics, things you would like us to talk about. Well, basically, it would just save us sitting there trying to rack our brains thinking about what to say. And you'll have much better ideas than we would have. So if you have a question or a topic you would like us to talk about, you can go to bit.ly/artjuicepodcast. And that will take you to a form that you can fill out and send us your question. We would really appreciate that.
But not if you want to come on as a guest and talk about weird things like mattresses or some of the other odd things that we get. Can I come and be a guest on your podcast? No, delete. No, delete. Not relevant. Delete. But you who listen, you know what you want to hear. Come and tell us.
That's it for us this week, everybody. See you again next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We have to promote something. I'm going to promote us. Come and sign up for our newsletters so that we can promote things to you. 'Somebody sent me a message and said, you're sending me too many emails. Please take me off this list. And I clicked to look what they were receiving. And it was the free course, which is one email a day, which is what you sign up for when you sign up for the free course.
Nothing else.
Yeah. It's not bombarding with other emails. It's just what you asked for.